Welcome to this short service of reflection for Good Friday. In our hearts and minds we come into the presence of the cross on this day of crucifixion. As we remember the story, we think of the loving act of Christ and open ourselves to divine love and the presence of the Spirit. Draw near to the cross of Christ.
We draw near in awe and gratitude.
Enter this ancient and sacred story.
We enter, open to the presence of God.
Find your place in this holy narrative.
We seek to receive anew the grace and love of Christ Jesus.
Author of new life, open our hearts, minds and souls to enter into this sacred journey of Christ's passion and death. Help us to walk in the way of Jesus. Help us find our place on this path. Invite our hearts to be moved and our faith to be stirred. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
By now, it was 9 o'clock. The streets were full of people. It was a holiday in Jerusalem and a bright, fine morning. 3 prisoners were to be crucified that day, Jesus and 2 thieves. The Roman soldiers led them in a grim procession from the governor's palace to the city gates. There they met an African, Simon, making his way towards Jerusalem. And the soldiers stopped him and ordered him to follow them and to carry the heavy cross in place of Jesus. So they came to a low hill not far from the city, a hill called Calvary. Here they crucified Jesus and the two criminals, one on either side. "Father, forgive them," said Jesus in his pain. "They do not know what they're doing." Quite a crowd of sightseers had followed the soldiers up the hillside. They stood and stared as Jesus hung helpless on the great wooden cross. Some of them jeered at him. "He saved others," they said. "Now let him save himself. Let him now come down from the cross and then we will believe him." One of the thieves crucified with Jesus turned his head and spoke to him in much the same way. "Aren't you God's chosen one?" he asked. "Why don't you save yourself and us?" But the other thief joined in, saying to the fellow criminal, "Have you no fear of God? It's only right for us. We've only got what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And to Jesus he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." "I tell you truly," said Jesus, "this very day you will be with me in paradise." So the long hours dragged by, and toward noon the day changed. Clouds gathered, the sun was hidden, and it grew strangely dark. Presently, through the gloom, Jesus gave a great cry, "My God, my God, why did you forsake me?" Later he cried again, "It is finished." And, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And with these words, he died. His hands, his feet, so
The account of the crucifixion just read for us was based on all four Gospels. Normally on Good Friday, I read the story from just one of the Gospels. Over the years, I've read all of them on numerous occasions, but for some reason, I'm often drawn to the version told by the writer of the fourth Gospel. The Gospel writer John puts Jesus in control, even during the events of Good Friday. In John's account, there are no desperate pleas from the Garden of Gethsemane to let this cup pass from him. There are no cries from the cross of a Saviour forsaken. John presents Jesus as the living, breathing revelation of God. Through his dramatic arrest, torture, and crucifixion, the Word become flesh does not abandon his revealing nature or his control. As Jesus begins to testify to the chief priest, Jesus makes clear he has nothing to hide. I've spoken openly to the world. I've said nothing in private. As the story continues, Jesus has not one but two uncomfortable conversations with Pilate, a reluctant conspirator in Jesus' impending death. John informs us that Jesus ensures that his mother is cared for, and declares with his last breath the completion of his mission. It is completed. Everything is in order. There's not even a mention of broken bones. Everything done to fulfill Scripture. This death was fit for the living Word, who was in the beginning with God. This Word, who once endlessly spoke of life and light, ceaselessly testified to truth and proclaimed a radical union with the divine, falls silent. Our own speech breaks into a silence as darkness, death, overwhelm us on this day, and we find ourselves at a loss for words. As the shadow of the cross calls us to face the suffering and brokenness of our world, to face the sinful injustices that create innocent victims, to face the foes of evil and the love of power that stand against the power of love. Truly, truly I tell you, God suffers with those who are suffering. God grieves with those who are grieving. God weeps with those who are weeping. God labours with those who are labouring for justice. God sits with us, even in our brokenness. God is present with us, even in our darkness. Truly, this is so, and so shall it be. Amen.
O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may reach a fuller being. O light that follows all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine blaze its day may brighter, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I try. promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that lifteth up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust thy glory dead, and from the ground the blossoms red, life that shall endless be.
We go forth into a world filled with darkness, but we are not alone. The one who holds all life and the mystery of death is with us.
We are not alone. We will wait in hope.
We go forth into a world filled with grief, but we are not alone. The one who holds all hope and the mystery of our faith is with us.
We are not alone. We will wait in hope.
In life, in death, in life beyond death, we are never alone. The one who holds all love and the mystery of new life is with us.
We are not alone. We will wait in hope.